Well, if you've been following along with us over the past many, many weeks, we've been in a series that we've titled Rooted. And it's based out of Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus told this story, a parable, about a sower going out and sowing seed, which represents God's word going out. And he said, hey, this lands on four different kinds of soil. Those soils represent our heart. Four different types of soil. There's the really hard soil, that footpath that's been just trampled down because of pain and all kinds of things in people's stories that just makes the ground so hard that even when they hear God's word, it doesn't get in. There's like zero penetration. Have you ever met anybody that had a hard heart? Man, you're like telling them about Jesus, you're praying for him, and nothing is sinking in. Well, Jesus said, hey, there's people that are like that. It's, you know, there's hardness of heart. And we've talked about that and what we can even do to see that kind of busted up so that could become more fertile soil. Then Jesus talked about the rocky soil. And that's where we've been the last several weeks, talking about how do we get the rocks out of our lives. Then there's the weedy soil, where there's weeds that are growing up. And so when we try to put down roots, guess what? You get choked out. Then lastly, right after Easter, yes, we're going to get to talk about what does it look like to be fruitful in Jesus? What does it look like to be those people that Jesus described as really, really fruitful? But as we've been saying, you don't get to the fruit if you don't put down the root. We've got to be rooted in order so that we're going to be able to be fruited, all right? We get it? That's where we're at. So we've been talking about getting the rocks out of the soil of our lives. This week, we're transitioning to this next section. We're talking about the weedy soil for 3 weeks leading up to Easter. Matthew 13, 22. Here we go. This is what Jesus said about the weedy soil. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns. Everybody say thorns. Yikes. Have you ever fallen into a thorn bush? Have you ever brushed up against a cactus? Yikes, you know? You will never forget it. Man, when we lived up in the Northwest, we had something, I think they called it Russian thistle. Let me tell you, you wanted to dig those out of your backyard when they were really, really tiny before they began to bear fruit, because they would just be everywhere, and they were deadly. I mean, the leaves hurt, the prickly thing. I mean, it's terrible. There's seed that fell among the thorns. And Jesus said that represents those who hear God's word. So they're not like the hard soil where nothing penetrates. No, these are actually people where they hear God's word. There's something of receptivity, like, really? Jesus is real. And Jesus, like, wants to do something in the soil of my life. Jesus wants me to be fruitful. He says they hear God's word, but all too quickly. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. That weedy soil, really, at the end result, is no better off than the hard soil or the rocky soil, because there's no fruit that comes in this person's life. Now, next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about the lures, okay? We're going to be talking about the lures that are so common in society. We're going to actually, next week, be talking about the lure of wealth. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking about the lure of sexual temptation. So you are not going to want to miss those. It's going to be juicy. Okay. But today... today we're talking about what Jesus said is the weeds of worry. The weeds of worry. Listen, I want to say this. Worry, the reason this is so thorny, so problematic, is that worry steals our ability to be fruitful today. Worry steals our ability to be fruitful today because we get locked in to a picture of an unfruitful future. Let me say that again. The reason that this is so problematic in our lives is because worry steals away our ability to be fruitful today, because in our brains, our thinking, our imagination gets locked into a picture of an unfruitful future. That's what we're worrying about, is something that might take place that, man, it looks scary because it looks really barren and unfruitful. And because we're locked into that image, we stop being fruitful right here and right now where we are. Oh, listen, when talking about worry, when talking about anxiousness, I have a great sensitivity as a pastor because I know that there's people in our society, in our culture, in our city, and even right here that are all wrapped up with very, very deep worry. Maybe even clinical worry. That struggle with depression, that struggle with anxiety. In fact, so much study has been done on this, you know, in recent years, because it seems like lives are becoming more complex. Lives are becoming more complicated. There's more and more pressures, it seems like, coming from so many different angles. That weighs down on people. I mean, if you Google this, I mean, you'll even see that through this whole election cycle and even after our presidential election cycle, they're talking about that we've got a country that is very, very anxious. And that comes right into the church. Because just because we're followers of Jesus doesn't mean that we don't deal with the same weight and pressure as people who have not yet begun to follow Jesus. We struggle like everyone struggles. Recent studies have shown that approximately 1 in 6 adults, 1 in 6 adults in the United States is taking at least one psychiatric drug. 1 in 6, most commonly for depression or for anxiety. 1 in 6. Listen, all of us know either family or friends that are taking medication for some kind of diagnosed disorder when it comes to depression or anxiety. All of us have family or friends. I certainly do. Americans, we're also told, take 6 times more prescription opioids per person than they did just 20 years ago. In 2 decades, 6 times more opiate use. And that's the prescribed ones. Because there's a lot of people, if you watch in the news, that are even losing their lives because of opioid use and abuse. So this is a very serious and complex issue. So when we talk about worry, we're not just going in kind of like, hey, we're just going to bust down the doors and we know that after, you know, the next half hour of conversation, hey, no more worry ever. No, listen. We go in soberly. We go in knowing that this is something that not only affects the world outside these doors, we know that it affects us as well. That there are pressures and weights that we're carrying. But into that, Jesus speaks. So here's the truth. We don't avoid challenging subjects. We don't avoid things that we don't think that we can like fix immediately. No, we wade into those waters and say, God, how would you instruct us? How might we find your truth that would set us free? Even if it's a little bit free. Even if I can leave a little bit freer than when I walked in today. And perhaps if I build your practices into my life. If I begin to ask the right kinds of questions, then perhaps a year from now, I'd be a whole lot more free than I am today when it comes to worry, when it comes to anxiety. I think it'd be tremendous that if a year from now we mark it in the calendar and say, boy, who was able to get off of an antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication because of learning the freedoms of Jesus, right? Amen? Hey, listen, worry is so profound. Max Lucado, pastor and author, tells the story of this one guy. He was such a worrier, that he decided, I've got to hire somebody else to worry for me. worried so much. I've got to find somebody to worry for me. And so he did. He found a guy, but it was going to cost him $200,000 a year. But the guy said, hey, I'll do it. So he hires this professional worrier to worry for him. He hires him. And the first thing this new employee says is, hey, so how are you going to get the $200,000 to pay me? To which the new boss replied, that's your worry. Matthew chapter 6. If you've got your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Jesus had a lot to say about worry. Matthew 6, 25, this comes right after Jesus has been talking about money, and he's been advocating for his followers to not build up treasures on earth where everything is just going to get destroyed anyway, but to build up our treasures in heaven. He's had this conversation, you can go back later and read and follow to where he gets to this point, but in Matthew chapter 20, or 6, verse starting in 25, Jesus says this, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? Your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? So he's linking the reality that, hey, God knows we have needs. God knows that we're going to face challenges. God knows that sometimes it's going to look like when we look at our tomorrows, we see scarcity. But Jesus is saying, hey, don't you realize that I care for you? I care for you, that I'm going to be there because you're valuable to me. Going on in verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory, King Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Would you say that? But personalize it. He will certainly care for me. Would you say that? He will certainly care for me. So then Jesus asked this question. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. So in other words, people that don't have faith that God is going to be there because he cares, because he loves us so dramatically that he's going to be present in those situations, knowing what we need. He said, that's the way that people think when they don't even have that relationship with God, when they don't have any understanding about God's present care for them. He says, so why do you have so little faith? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. At the very end of this paragraph, Jesus says this, so don't worry about tomorrow. I want you to think about tomorrow, because at the heart of worry is an anxiousness about our future. Right? The questions that even Jesus kind of says, hey, these are so common, this is what everybody's asking. You know, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? It's all future tense, right? It's all a concern about our tomorrows that somehow is tied in with this whole concept of worry, an anxiousness about our future. And man, we can add a whole lot to that list. Am I going to have enough money for rent? Or maybe some other people are in a season of life, well, am I going to have enough money for retirement? We think about our relationships. Will I ever get married? Will I be able to stay married? Are my kids going to live beyond junior high school? Because I think I'm going to kill them. There's all kinds of things that weigh on our hearts and become these weights and concerns about our tomorrows that then we get fixated on unfruitful pictures of what that might look like. That I'll be single forever, or my marriage is going to explode, or, you know, my kids aren't going to thrive, whatever it may be. And then our worries extend beyond just ourselves, but we think about our country, we think about our world, and we see reports and we hear things that cause us to grow in our anxiousness about, will our country be around tomorrow? Will our world be like it is today? Will I even be able to worship freely, you know, in the decades to come? Is my health going to hold out? Am I going to struggle with the same stupid addiction forever? There's so many things that can just weigh in on us and cause anxiousness about our tomorrows. Jesus knows that we're wired like this. Jesus understands it. And so into that reality of knowing that there's all these weights and things that are pressing in, he says, hey, why so little faith? Here's the deal. Worry is always tied to our faith. Worry is always tied to some dimension and expression of our faith. Let me talk to those of you who have already given your lives and your trust to Jesus, okay? If you're here and you don't know Jesus yet, we're really, really glad you're here. And you can listen in. But I want to talk to those of you that have already said, man, I've put my trust in Jesus. Here's what this is like. When we give our trust to Jesus, what we're doing is we're saying, God, thank you that you are taking care of my history, right? All my past. God, I bring all my past and I put it right under your cross. Jesus, I believe that what you did on that cross was absolutely the perfect sacrifice for my sin. My history is taken care of. Amen? We say that as believers. God, you're the God who's taking care of everything in my history. And then all the way over here, we say, because God is taking care of my history, he's also secured my eternity. Right? We believe that. We believe what John 3:16 says. Tells us, you know, that Jesus said, hey, if you believe in me, if you put your trust in me, you're going to have relationship with God forever, forever. Praise the Lord. So those of us who are people of faith have said, God, you have taken care of my history and you have secured my eternity. But here's the challenge. What about my reality? What about my reality today? And tomorrow. God, I can trust you with my history. You took care of that on the cross. God, I can even trust you for my eternity. I know that when I die, I get to go to heaven. That's awesome. Worry, though, and the reason that this is a matter of faith is because Jesus is saying, I want your faith to grow to not only encompass your history and your eternity, but your reality today. Put this up there. Worry happens when I stop trusting God to be present in my tomorrows. See, whenever we get this unfruitful imagination about our future, guess what? It's unfruitful because we're not seeing God in it. Somehow that image of our marriage or that image of a child who is struggling or that image of our finances or whatever, we begin to worry because we're captivated by this image that is unfruitful, and it's unfruitful because we don't see God in that image. We don't see him at work in that picture, and whenever that happens, worry begins to consume. Those anxious thoughts, which we will never fully be able to avoid, it's just dealing with reality and the weights and pressures and everything, but those anxious thoughts form these worrisome thoughts that then begin to consume us so that we're unfruitful today. We cannot be fruitful in our todays when we're all wrapped up with a picture of an unfruitful future. God is saying, I want to come right into your reality. Yes, I'm really grateful that I came and was able to deal with your history. And man, we're gonna get to party together in heaven for all of eternity. But let me tell you, I am here to help deal in the present with your reality. You good with that? Listen, I want to talk real briefly just about two questions. Two questions that we can ask ourselves whenever worry begins to show up in our lives. Two questions to help us pull out the weeds of worry. Here's the first question. What if God's promises are true? Listen, for a pastor to ask that, I mean, you should be chuckling, like, okay. But I think we really have to deal with that question. Because a lot of times we hear words, but we never really contemplate, what if what God is saying in his word is actually truth? And whenever we catch ourselves worrying, I think that's where we need to start. By asking ourselves, man, what would it look like? What would it look like if God's promises are really true? 1 Peter 5:7. It's one of the most beautiful concepts that God gives us about worry. But it's wrapped up in a promise. Listen to what Jesus says, or what God communicates through his son Peter. Give all your worries and cares to God. And then here's the promise. For he cares for you. Do you remember what Jesus said when we were reading that earlier scripture? Hey, you don't need to worry about all these things today because your heavenly Father knows what he needs, you need, and he cares for you. And Peter takes that same concept and said, hey, you can give all your care, all your worrisome thoughts, every anxious moment, you can give it to him because guess what? Here's the promise. Here's the promise. He cares for you. He cares for you. See, God's care is real. God's care is intense. It's not like one of these like little cares. You know, like, hey, I care if Oregon goes on and wins the whole tournament because I picked Oregon to win in my bracket. Yes. Final four, baby. Come on. I could look pretty good next Sunday. Hey, but here's what I'm saying. We have a lot of things that we kind of care about, but when it says that God cares for us, No, his care for us changed history. God's care for us is what brought Jesus from heaven to earth. God's care for you is what took Jesus from the earth to the cross. It changes everything when we understand the depth of his care and his concern for us, because he loves us, because you are loved by God, whether you deserve it or you don't. There's nothing you can do about it, because we can't earn his love. We cannot earn his care. Man, if I'm really good, God's going to care for me more. No, that's a lie. The reality is that he cares for us completely and totally because of his love, his great love for all humanity. See, one of the things I love about Jesus is that he didn't just come to secure our eternity. But what did Jesus do when he was doing ministry day in and day out for those few years while he was walking with his disciples and teaching people? What was he doing? He was healing them. He was feeding them. He was setting them free from addictions and demons and everything that would bind them up. Let me tell you, Jesus is not just concerned about your history, and he's not just concerned about your eternity. He is concerned about today's reality. And he showed that by the way that he lived and ministered and operated during his time on earth. He cares about the little things. He cares about our sicknesses. He cares about the well-being of our children. He cares about things that are that could steal away our life. Just read the Gospels and you'll see. He cares so deeply. Yeah, our futures are going to have all kinds of challenges. They will. But into that reality, do you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8? You four square folk. Okay, this is now kind of up in our baptistry, but go ahead, read it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Guess what? Jesus, the same way that he cared for people while he was ministering on earth, man, Jesus cares for us the same way. When? Today. Right now. Right in the moment, not just yesterday's and not just our forever's, but today. And today is where worry lives. Being captured by those unfruitful pictures of our future. Boom. Listen, a lot of trouble may come your way. Right? As I've recently been reminded, you know, there's only one way off the planet, at least until Jesus comes, right? All of us have been appointed one hour in which we're going to die. Listen, so we know that there's going to be challenges ahead. We know that. Challenges may come. But see, when we ask the question, what if his promises are real? Here's the beautiful thing that we're captivated by. Even though challenges may come, and we know that some will, we know for certain that God's promises is that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Psalm 23, even if you're in the valley of the shadow of death, don't worry, I am with you. His presence and his care for us is secure. So when we worry, the first question we need to ask ourselves is, man, what if God's promises are true? Well, guess what? Doesn't mean that we're not going to face challenges. We will. But here's what we get to know. He is with me. He is with me. He will never abandon me, even in my most challenging moments. That becomes a much more fruitful picture of the future. Here's the second question. First, What if God's promises are true? And second question is this: what if I gave my worry to God? What if I gave it to him? What would that look like? What if I just gave him my worry? That scripture that we were just looking at a moment ago, that, you know, give all of your worry over to God because he cares for you. In another translation of scripture you may be more familiar with, it says this, cast all your anxiety to him. Cast all your anxiety. And I like that word cast. It's literally the picture of taking an anchor and throwing it overboard. It's literally taking that thing that is weighing me down and saying, I don't want it in the boat any longer. Psh, casting all our worries. Casting it. But here's the cool thing. We're not just throwing them into the water. We're not just like, hey, I just need to like just toss this thing out of the boat and make a big splash. No, what we're doing is we're actually casting them into the hands of God. Give all your worries to God. Cast all your anxieties to God because he cares for you. So we're not just like, I just need to get rid of it anyway. I'm just going to go dump it on a neighbor. Man, I need to have coffee with my friend and tell him all my worries, right? I just need to like vomit all over somebody. I get all this worry out, right? Hey, listen, there is huge benefit of talking out loud sometimes to someone who can help us process. But can I tell you, only do that with people who are going to help you say, hey, let's take that to God. Let's take it to him, because I don't want it, right? But here's what I want to do. I want to help you, my friend. Just take all that yuck, all those unhelpful, unfruitful pictures of the future. They're absent of God. Let's give all those to God, and then let's say, God, show up in our future. How do we do this casting? How do we throw these anchors off the boat and into his hands? Well, the clearest way that we have to do that is through prayer. Like just talking to God. God, help. God, show up. God, you know that I'm beginning to be concerned about this aspect of my tomorrows. My marriage, my kids, my finances, my singleness, my addiction, whatever it may be. God, you know that I'm beginning to be concerned, and I feel it growing to that point of worry. So God, I'm bringing it to you. Prayer is an ever-present means of linking our faith to any situation. At any time, you can be right in the middle of a work day, right? Surrounded by people who don't even acknowledge God. Doesn't matter. You can pray. You can, in the stillness of your heart, cry out to God. You can get a phone call that is really unsettling, and right in that moment, you can say, God, I give this to you. I need you to be present. Lord, all of your promises about you caring for me and being present in my situation, I need it now, Lord. I need to be reminded of this reality. So guess what? Prayer is this ever-present means of linking what I believe, that God's promises are true, to any situation. That's what prayer is. So how do we cast off? How do we get rid of these anchors weighing us down? We pray. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. The Apostle Paul is writing to us, and he says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Anytime something begins to captivate our attention, we say, God, this feels like worry. We bring it to the Lord in prayer. We just say, God, I give this over to you. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I need to invite our worship team back up. We sang a song today that really took those words and put them to a melody. It's the song, Good, Good Father. Boy, and when we read Jesus' words saying that, listen, you don't need to worry because of how deeply I care for you, can I tell you that we have a good Father? We have a God that is so concerned about our todays. That he's not just the God of our history. He's not just the God of our eternity. He's the God of our reality today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God who is wrapped up in love with you and me. So when we begin to feel worry coming over us, two questions. What if God's promises are true? What would that change about my reality right now? And God, what if I gave these worries over to you? What if I cast them out of my boat into your hands? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We have a good, good Father. He loves us. He has not left us. He is present and he cares. He is present and he cares.